And I don't know about you, but there's something that just goes on when the weather starts to change right now. It just makes me feel alive. Anybody else? Anybody in the last couple of days just really enjoyed being outside, right? I made one of those hard choices yesterday. You know, it's the hardest choice I've made up to this year. And the choice was, do I wear shorts or do I not? Right? So I'm like, God, I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to wear shorts. I was coming up here to the church. And when I get here, God confirmed what I had my decision because Seth was here and he was wearing shorts. So I was like, yes, I made the right decision. We're in, right? We're in short season now. We're officially in short season. So if you want to wear shorts to church, if you got nice legs, do that, guys. And if you don't, then, you know, stick to the pants, right? It's a joke. I'm just kidding. If you don't have nice legs, you can wear them too. We don't judge here. We're equal opportunity church. But the trees and the flowers are starting to bud. And we just feel good when you're outside. You look around and, you know, yesterday we had a little power outage in our neighborhood. So I took my little girls and I threw them in the truck and I just put the windows down and we were driving around. And I look in the mirror over here and Bella's got her head out the window and the wind is just blowing in her face, man. And I look in the other mirror and Becca's got her little head halfway out because she can't reach all the way. And the wind's just blowing in their face. And, man, they're just enjoying life. They're just, man, this is it, you know? And I don't know about you. Think back when you were a kid when you could ride in the back of a truck, right? Back in the days when you cruised down 231, 80 miles an hour in the back of the truck, and the wind's just blowing through your hair. What? My dad was the only guy that did that? Nobody else? Yeah, exactly. But it was fun, right? It was fun to go through the woods and drive around and see the changes, and the animals are starting to come out, right? The birds are, the blue jays are out, and they're hawking and saying all kinds of things, and it's just a great time to feel alive. It makes me feel alive when I experience that. And maybe if you use something different. Maybe it's a motorcycle. Where are my motorcycle people at? You're out on the motorcycles, man. You're just cruising. You love it. What else? What about amusement parks? Anybody love the amusement parks? Anybody? I love some amusement parks. I grew up doing youth ministry. I love it. You know, it's just that roller coaster when your stomach just dumps out on you and you're just like the blood rushes to your face and you're just like, you know, this is awesome. And then you got the skydivers. Where's my skydivers? Anybody skydiving? Yeah. Laurel's mom, for her birthday a couple years ago, went and jumped out of a plane and 60, 61, 62 years old. She just thought, this is it. I'm doing it. And they filmed it and everything. And it's just great to see that. And she's like, it's the best experience I ever had. She's like, scared to death, but it was just awesome, you know. So, but it's those things that we like, and it makes us feel alive, and we want to try to do them as much as possible. And hopefully when you see new things and you know, you want to try some new things and do some new things to get the blood pumping. And I remember years ago, right before Laura and I got married, I was working full-time at a church in Dothan, and we went over to Wild Adventures Amusement Park. Anybody know my Wild Adventures in Georgia? It's a beautiful park. If you don't get a chance to go, you should go there. And I had my youth group there, and we had some guys, and we were walking around, and it was my birthday. And they're like, I don't know who said it, but they're like, Adam, for your birthday, you should do the Superman. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. It's like, that's that big old thing up there. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm a man. I'm going to show off. Let's go over here and do this thing. So we get over there, and then I talk Laurel into doing it, and then one of our youth members is like, I'm going with it too. And it's three people, and you literally stand side by side like this. And I was here, and Laurel was here, and my youth was here. And they wrap you in a piece of plastic, and then they Velcro it in the back, and it has a cable hook to it. And the guy says, okay, in 1 second, the floor is going to drop out from under you, and you're just going to be hanging there. So I was like, okay. I was not expecting that. He pushed the button, and literally the floor drops out, and you go from this to straight looking at the ground, and you're just hanging there, three of you, in a hot dog, squishing you together. So then I'm like, this was a mistake, right? And if you want to see it, I watched it last night. I went on YouTube, and there's a picture of people doing it. And even watching it is more scared than actually doing it, because then I realized there's one little cable dangling me with some plastic. And we go up 180 feet. 180 feet. That's how tall it is. It's just a pole, and it pulls you up backwards. So you're going like this, and you know, and you're just, then you're like, okay, we're cool. If I fall now, I can still survive this. You know, I'll do one of those little He-Man rolls or whatever, you know, and I'll make it through this. And then you get higher, and about halfway up, I realize, this is it, man. If this thing breaks down, we're done. You know, there's no getting out of this. So it pulls you all the way up 180 feet. And the guy said, hey, when you get up there, there's a little switch. You pull this little switch, and it'll let you go. He said, I'm going to give you the wave. I'm going to give you 2 seconds. If you don't pull that switch, I'm going to hit it down here. Because obviously you get a lot of people who get up there and then they realize this was a horrible, horrible mistake. So the cool thing was we were doing it right at dusk and the lights, the The lights were going down, and this is how I remember it. It's probably not correct, so you can ask Laurel the thing. But the sky was beautiful, and I felt like I actually could see Atlanta from we were so high up, even though, you know, I couldn't. But I just thought, man, that's, you know, but the sun was setting, and we're like three times as high as the nearest pine tree at this point, and we're up there. So, and Laurel has her eyes closed, and she's peeking. I'm like, don't look. You do not want to see this. I'm like, this is not good. I should have closed my eyes, you know. So then we get to the top, and the youth guy with us, he's like 17, and he's like, hey. He gives us the wave, and he goes, here we go. And in your mind, all you hear is that little clink, clink, and then you're just free-falling straight down. And the wind is just, man, just they say you reach 60 miles an hour coming down this thing. And then all of a sudden, that cable catches in, and they call it the Superman because when it catches in, it just shoots you out over the park. And you just feel like Superman because you're stuck in this position because your arms, you're wrapped in there. And then it goes back and forth. And then after the first one, you realize I didn't die. Then it's very enjoyable. You're like, this is cool. You're like, I knew I should have done this. I knew this was awesome. And I was reading that they actually changed the name. It's called the Geronimo. But if you ever get a chance to do it, you know, when that thing let go, I remember screaming, I feel so alive. Right? No. I just remember screaming, ah! Right? But after it was over, I did feel alive. I felt so, I mean, just, you know, it was just exhilarating just to feel that wind in your face. And for those brief moments, man, you feel like you're flying and all the stuff you've seen in the movies. And you go, this is it. You know, I'm doing this. And this is amazing. And it was such a great time to be a part of that. It's, you know, and that was, I don't know, you know, 10 years ago. And it still just burned into my memory as one of the coolest things I ever did. And even though it wasn't that amazing, it just felt amazing, you know, in that moment. And that's hopefully where we're living at when we want to feel alive and what we're doing in this life. And because I know this, man, if we're going through this life not really living it, we're really missing out. We're really missing out on what God wants for us. When we go to the book of Colossians, we see Paul teaching us why we should feel alive every day. No matter what's going on in our life, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, when we see Paul preaching in Colossians, we should have an understanding of why Paul is so excited about what God's doing and what God has done in his life, and what he wants to see happen in the churches. So we're going to begin reading today in Colossians 2:13. It should be up on the screen, Colossians 2:13. And Paul says this, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. Now think about this. Before we have new life, we were all dead. But before a person comes to new life in Jesus, they're not just a sick man who needs a doctor. They're a dead man who needs a Savior. And we've all been there at some point of our life. And Paul says, when you're dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. Man, praise God. God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he's taken it away by nailing it to the cross. Wow. Talk about a reason to feel alive. We're alive in Christ. Our sins are gone. Last week we spoke about the sin that entered this world because of the decisions of Adam and Eve and their direct disobedience to what God had called them to do. Here we see Paul laying out our justification, where the work of God and the righteousness of Jesus is reckoned to the sinner, so that the sinner is declared by God to be righteous and no longer under the law. When we read through the Old Testament, we know that God had all these laws. And because of sin entered the world, sin entered this earth through man, all these laws were formed. And then we know when Jesus came along and what Jesus did on the cross and the price that he paid, that we're no longer indebted to those sins. We're no longer indebted to that law. What a great reason to be alive today. That not only did he nail that to the cross, but God has made us alive with Christ. He's taken it away. Everything that we can experience, he's nailed it to the cross. If we jump to Romans 1:15, we see Paul here talking about how eager he is to preach the gospel. He says everywhere he goes, he's excited about the message of the cross. He's excited because of the power and the freedom that comes with being made alive with Christ. So I want to look at some things today that Christ nailed to the cross. If you got a pen, you can jot some of these down. This is obviously not just a complete list of things, just some things that stood out to me that I wanted to speak to and hopefully minister to you and what God is speaking to us today. The number one, this is just sin. If 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Today, the mighty works of what Christ did have been nailed to the cross. The sin that many of us struggle with every day, no matter what it is, has been nailed to the cross. Sin was nailed, not just one sin, but sin itself. See, Paul loved to preach about the cross because he saw how sin was defeated. It wasn't that Jesus just died for the sins of the world, but he took the sin, he carried it up to Calvary, and nailed it to the cross, all sin. So when we counsel with people, a lot of times we just say, Adam, I can't stop doing this. I've tried my best to do this. And even Paul says it himself that there's times of his life when everything he tried to do was good, he couldn't do anything but bad. That no matter what he tried to do, he still felt like it wasn't good enough. At times of his life, sin was still in and around him. But the good news is that Christ nailed it to the cross. So what's that mean for me and you? That means that in our life, we will struggle with sin. We will struggle with things, but God has made a way out of it. At times, I have seen people completely healed or restored from alcohol abuse, from drug abuse, from just anything that we would consider sin, from adultery, whatever it is. I've seen people in church, people that I know, I can give you names, I can call them up and say, were you doing this? And God, yes, God healed me completely. And now I can give you names of people that it took years and years and years for them to get over some of the stuff that they struggled with the most. And you say, well, Adam, why would God do that? Why would God just bless one person and just leave this other person hanging? And I would say today, I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know why God does that sometimes. I don't know why God does some of the amazing things that he does. And then at other times, I see good people suffer. All I know is this, is that was not his plan. He tells us through his word that sin entered the world, and that was not his plan. As we talked about last week, Adam and Eve had it perfect. They were in the perfect place, a place of delight. They had it all. That was God's plan for us. So he wants us to be overcomers of sin. And that's why he sent Jesus to the cross. Through God healing you directly, or through us having just work on it through our life and asking the help of our Christian brothers and sisters. I know God's word says that if any of us are sin, we should call for the people of the church to come together and pray that we might be healed. If you're struggling with anything in your life, man, if you want prayer, don't hesitate to call us. Don't hesitate to come down here. You're sitting in a room full of people who support you and love you and want to see God do amazing things to your life. Sin's been nailed to the cross. Not only sin, but fear. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says this. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death, and only in this way could he be set free from who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We sang it in a song just a little while ago that death was arrested. See, man was bound by fear because it seemed that the judgment of God was going to be so severe. When we read through the things, even from the time of Adam and Eve and their children, of Cain and Abel, and God cursed the one to travel the earth. And he said, God, you've put too much on me. The punishment is so severe. Surely those who will meet me will kill me. But God has put the fear of death on the cross. Jesus nailed that fear to the cross. And now, according to 2 Timothy, we no longer have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. Have you ever thought about that for a moment? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. I don't know about you, but one of my weekly prayers or daily prayers or just whenever it feels like this world is just too much to handle at times, my prayer is, God, just give me a sound mind. Just in the middle of the stress that's going on and just life and everything that's going on, I just need a sound mind. Not that everything is going to work out perfectly the way Adam wants it. Not that Adam won't feel any more pain or stuff in this life. But man, it's a lot easier to get through the day when we have a spirit of love and a power in who Christ is and a sound mind. If you find yourself in a situation, you're getting frustrated, say, could you just give me a moment? I just need to step out for just a moment. Man, just step outside and give a quick prayer. God, I'm operating. I'm messed up. I don't want to live in this way. I want to operate out of love and a power and a sound mind. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit will do to your life. It's amazing how that changes our day. Because he's made us alive with Christ, we are free from the bondage of fear. So Christ has nailed sin to the cross. He has nailed fear to the cross. We spoke about this earlier. Death, Romans 6, 8 and 9 says this. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. See, Paul loved to preach the cross because it was a place death was defeated. At the cross, we are united with him in death, but we're raised with him in glory for what he's done. Death is swallowed up in victory. Paul states in 2 Timothy 1 through 10, and now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way of life and immortality through the good news. This is the big one. There was a time in my life where I was scared of dying. As a young man, I thought, man, if I check out of here, I haven't done any of the stuff I want to do. God, please don't let me die before I get to do the things that I want to do. And now when I look back, I think, man, how crazy was that? That I bargained my time with Jesus to be in his presence with the things of this world to so quickly pass away. Scared to death. Occasionally I get the opportunity to go and visit with people in the hospital that are sick or have been in accidents. And I had a pastor come to my church years ago, and he said his full-time job was visitation and just ministering to people, and it was in the Tampa area. And every day he went to the hospital, and he would just knock on people's doors and stick his head in and say, hey, I'm Pastor so-and-so. Do you mind if I pray with you? Can I come in and speak with you for a moment? He said, very rarely did anybody tell me no. He said, very rarely. He said, usually they were so just happy to see me. He said, because a lot of times there were people that were just there by themselves, and they were just scared to death. And he said, I could walk in the room and just sense the fear of death and who they were. He said, just in a few short words, I could just know where they were. He said, it was always amazing to me to see people who had such a relationship and a peace with Christ laying there in that bed, and then those who didn't. He said, it was just written on their face and in their words and in their life. Just so scared of dying. The amazing part of that is it gave him such an opportunity to pray with people. I had the opportunity to travel and do that with him, and it was just amazing to me. He would go all day long. He wouldn't even eat lunch. I remember the first day I traveled with him, it was about 1 o'clock, and I said, man, are we going to stop and eat lunch? And he goes, oh, Adam, I'm sorry, man. I don't eat lunch. I'll stop and get you a hamburger real quick, but I'm on to the next one. And we go, there was a birth, and we go pray with the family about the birth. And then he said, we're going to go over here and visit this one in the hospital who's dying. And then we got to make a house visitation of this lady who's dying. And it was just so up and down and up and down. And I remember that first day going home about 7 o'clock at night. We started at 7:30 that morning. I just remember thinking, man, this guy is just gifted. God is just, this is his. And that one day, we prayed with five people to accept Jesus. We stood around the bed of this 80-year-old woman who was fixing to leave this earth. And I remember him looking around the room and saying, all you in this room know this lady has a relationship with Jesus. But she's told me that a few of you don't. Why would you stand here today when she's telling you this is what's true in her life and she believes it with all of her heart? Is there anybody who'd like to pray today? And five of those people raised their hand in that room. And I just thought, man, what an awesome opportunity to reach out. What an awesome opportunity in the face of death to show it that it's defeated by the power and love of Jesus Christ. That even in the saddest of moments, having to stand there and watch this family member leave this earth, the peace she had in her life, the peace she took with her, knowing her kids would see her one day again on the other side. Death's been nailed to the cross today. Defeat, faults, and failures. Jesus nailed all of our defeats and our failures to the cross. See, we are made the righteousness of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You hear us say this a lot, that God wants us to live an abundant life. And as a young man, I thought that's awesome because that means I'm going to have a lot of stuff, right? God wants me to have an abundant life. He wants me to have cool things and a big house and just tons of friends and all these things. But even in studying for this message, I was just so reminded of what God considers us to have as an abundant life. The things and the qualities that God has given us and says, man, this is an abundant life. The love of a family. Right? A relationship with him. Not a spirit of fear, but a sound mind, a love and power. We're so hindered at times by what we consider to be abundancy. We're so hindered at times by what we consider to be success and the great things of God in our life. And we talked a lot about that last week. But God desires for us to have an abundant life today. He really does. God does not want us to live in defeat and faults and failures. And I'll be honest with you, I've had my share. Just like probably most of you in this room. There's been times where I messed up big. There were big times where I had huge failures and times where I was at fault for big mistakes. But praise God, I stand here today living an abundant life in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Because He nailed it to the cross. Today, don't let anything in your past life hinder you from knowing who Jesus Christ is. Don't let anything in this past life hinder us from living the abundant life. We've all made mistakes, no matter what they are. No matter what they are. No matter how big they are. We've all made mistakes. We've all messed up. Don't let defeat, faults, and failure keep you from being what Christ has called you to be. God still has a plan and a place for you. As we were singing the song, I was reminded of a little old lady called Granny. Most of us probably have a granny in our life. Granny was a youth worker. She was 85 years old. She was a youth worker at a church out in Texas that we got a chance to visit one time. And I remember coming in, and Granny was standing at the door. And we go to walk in, and she just reaches out her hands like this to me. You know, I've been in church my whole life. I'm no shyer to hugging. I'm like, bring it in here, Granny. Right? You don't hug a little old lady, something's wrong with you. Right? And I'm like, hey, she's a big old bear hug. And the guy with me says, hey, this is Granny. She's one of our volunteers. And I was like, okay, whoa, okay. I love Granny, but Granny's 85 years old. You know, what's Granny volunteering? So we go on in, and there was a huge line after us just standing there. Granny just hugged them one by one as they came in. So afterwards, Granny's standing in the back. Service is going on. Granny's just standing in the back, man. Kids would come in. Granny would make her way over to the door. Just get him in a hug. So after the service, I said, man, what's up with Granny? He said, she's awesome. He said, a few years ago, she got saved. He said, and she said she was standing in the service, and she said she was retired from her job, and she had nothing else going on. She said, my life was just a complete failure. She said, I'd done work 30 years at a company and retired, had no family, had nothing going on. She invited the church, accepts Jesus, comes in, and she says, what am I going to do? And she said, the youth minister got up and made a plea for volunteers, just like our children's ministry did this morning. And she said, God spoke to me and said, go work in the youth. And she says, I immediately thought, I'm 85 years old. What would I do with a bunch of crazy teenagers jumping around and throwing things and screaming and yelling? And she said, she went to the youth minister and told him. And she said, he immediately busted out laughing. I was like, seriously? Oh, you're serious. Oh, I'm sorry, Granny. So, okay, you're serious. You want to work in the youth ministry? And he said, well, what area do you think you could do in the youth ministry? She said, I got no skills or talents. She said, but I got a lot of hugs. He said, that day I put Granny to work standing at the door. He said, and I told her, your one thing is everybody who wants the hug, to give them a hug before they enter this building, and when they're leaving, to do it on the way out. Granny still had a lot of abundant life left in her, willing to not let the failures of her life or defeats or what she felt as failure and defeat hold her back. She was able to touch lives because of what Christ had done in her. Granny passed away a couple years ago. They had a huge funeral service for her. They just had tons and tons of kids who'd come through that small period of time through the youth ministry just talking about, hey, how their life was just changed by one simple hug from one little lady. Man. Defeat, failures, and faults are nailed to the cross. The abundant life God has called us to live is available for us if we're just willing to listen to Him, to hear His voice, and be willing to step out of our comfort zone. You don't think it was uncomfortable for that little old lady to go and start working with a bunch of crazy teenagers? And yet she did it, and what a blessing she was to them, and what a blessing they were to her. Colossians 2:15, Jesus disarmed the principalities and the powers, and he made a public example of them on the cross by triumphing over them. See, this is the great news of the cross, that what man lost in the garden, Jesus regained and gave the authority back to us by going to the cross. So the cross of Jesus Christ is where the victory over Satan was complete. He purchased it at the cross. There he paid the price because he died in our place. And so he spoiled the principalities and the powers. He triumphed over them at the cross. Our cross is an open display of the victory of Jesus. So today, what is it that keeps us from living from God? Whatever it is, Christ has nailed it to the cross. A few weeks back, we asked you to bring things and put them on the cross of things that you want God to do in your life. Amazing things. Areas of opportunity that you want God to give you. And then we asked him to put things on there that maybe you've struggled with. And it's still open. It's still up here for a reason. Any moment you want to put anything else on this cross. And what this is just an example. It's just a physical reminder that the stuff of this life is nothing compared to what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's nothing. I'm so amazed at this idea. We had a lady here in the church that put something on the cross. She called me that afternoon. She said, "Adam, it was awesome that I put something on the cross this morning." I thought it was. And she said, "But before I left church that day, it was already answered." God's good. Did I wish he answered all of our prayers that quickly? Sure. Sure. How awesome would it be if we all came with prayers and left? But he's got a plan. He's got a reason. His act of love on the cross provided justification so that we may walk in sanctification. See, justification comes from the outside of us, from God. But sanctification comes from God within us and by the work of the Holy Spirit. We are made alive in Christ that we may live every day in him by submitting to God's will, resisting sin, seeking holiness, and working to be more holy. That's what sanctification is. This is when you look around this room and you see just a bunch of regular people trying to serve God with their heart and with their life. Just trying to be a little bit more holy, a little bit more godly every day. Not that we could hoard it over people or say, "Hey, look how holy I am," or "how great I am," or "look how much God speaks to me and how much more stuff I have than you." But just in the deepness of our heart, knowing that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we just want to walk with him on a daily basis. Having the truth and the promise that nothing we face on this earth can overcome us. Because he's nailed it to the cross. Amen. Will you pray with me today?